This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praises due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way, who follow his sunnah, his methodology, his creed, until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and well, a very warm welcome to you all, as today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to look at another book that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in his book, Riyadu al-Salihin, Gardens of the Righteous. Now, Imam al-Nawawi has dedicated a book which he has entitled Kitab al-Salam. So, what Imam al-Nawawi has been doing or has done in his book is he has the Book of Etiquette, Many Manners. So, in this book, he has many chapters pertaining to etiquettes regarding greetings in Islam. And subhanAllah, Islam really is a way of life. And Islam is contains a comprehensive system on how to live our day-to-day lives. Now, we find, subhanAllah, that I don't believe that there is any substitute for the Islamic greeting. Now, the Islamic greeting contains the word salam, and salam means peace. And that's why many people, when talking about Islam, they say that Islam is a peaceful religion. And that's, subhanAllah, we see that in the very greeting, in how we greet one another, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Now, Imam al-Nawawi, he in the first chapter that he mentions, he says, "Babu fadl salam wal amri bi ifsha'iha or bi ifsha'i." He says the excellence of giving currency to salutations. Okay, so what he begins by mentioning some ayat from the Quran regarding this topic. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, in Surah An-Nur, in verse 27, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, enter not the houses other than your own until you have asked permission and greeted those in them. Then he mentions another ayah, and he says, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, but when you enter the houses, greet one another with a greeting from Allah Azza wa Jal. In other words, say, assalamu alaykum. Say, assalamu alaykum. Blessed and good. Now, in another verse, other than Surah An-Nur, that previous verse was found in 61. Now, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. That when you are greeted with a greeting, greet in return with what is better than it, or at least return it equally. Okay, so here, if you are greeted with a greeting, according to this ayah, if someone greets you with a greeting, then return the greeting like for like, okay? Or actually, he says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. Return the greeting with a better greeting. And then he goes on and he says, أَوْرُدُّوهَا, or at the very least, return the same greeting. So there is a command here from Allah Azza wa Jalla to return the greeting. Whether you return the greeting with a better greeting, or whether it is simply just returning the greeting. Now here, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he includes a number of ahadith, a number of traditions, prophetic traditions, regarding greetings in Islam. Now, the first hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, or he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ayyul Islami khayr? Ayyul Islami khayr? He said, which act in Islam is best? So subhanAllah, the Sahaba were always asking about the best of the best. It's always asking about what is better. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, tut'imu at-ta'am, that you give food. Now, giving food here, of course, it's in reference to giving to the poor and to the needy, to those in need of food and drink. He says, tut'imu at-ta'am wa taqra'u as-salam. Taqra'u as-salam is to give salam. Okay? Wa taqra'u as-salama 'ala man 'arafta wa man lam ta'rif. And that you give salam, you say assalamu alaykum to a person whether you know them or you don't know them. Now this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So Islam teaches us that with regards to our salutation or our greeting, that it's not only extended to those that we know. That even if somebody is a stranger, a Muslim stranger that you come past in the masjid or at home or at some Islamic function, that you say assalamu alaikum. And it's very disheartening, especially when we live in the West and we find that we'd be in a shopping center, for example, and there might be a Muslim working behind the counter or a Muslim that walks by or walks past you, and people just don't say assalamu alaikum. You know, it's really important that we do say assalamu alaikum as per this hadith, not only to those that we know, but those that we don't know. And that's what Islam is telling us, what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in this hadith. Now, when you do this, what's going to happen? It's going to, it's going to generate mutual love, and it's going to remove hatred. Okay, when you do that, and ill will from the hearts. Okay, so alhamdulillah for this blessing of as-salam. Now, this next hadith really sheds light as to the origin of as-salamu alaykum. When did as-salamu alaykum originate? Does anybody know? It's actually before Ibrahim alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam. In the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, it's hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. He said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, when Allah Azza wa Jal created our forefather, Adam alayhi salam, in English Adam, he said to him, go and salute the company of angels who are seated there, and then listen to what they are going to say in reply to your greetings, because that will be your salutation and that of your offspring. So Allah is telling Adam, what you're about to hear is going to be the salutation, the salam of you and your offspring. So Adam alayhi salam, he said to the angels, assalamu alaykum. Because remember, Allah Azza wa Jal inspired Adam. So Adam says, assalamu alaykum, which means peace be to you. So the malaika, the angels reply, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So they added, wa rahmatullah. So peace be to you and the mercy of Allah be upon you. So adding in reply to him, wa rahmatullah, the mercy of Allah to his salutation. So again, we find that the origin of assalamu alaykum is not limited to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not limited to the to his followers or to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we are going to learn that you may add to assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One addition is assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So you can add wa barakatuhu and his blessings. Subhanallah. Assalamu alaykum. Peace be to you. Wa rahmatullah and the mercy of Allah. Wa barakatuhu and his blessings is a form of dua. When you say peace be to you, you are asking Allah to give that person peace and rahmah and barakah and blessing. So each time you're saying it, it's like you are actually making dua for that person. You're invoking invocating to Allah Azza wa Jal, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon this person and blessing and barakah. Now, we also learn in the next hadith, the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma, that is also found in Bukhari and Muslim. What we learn in this hadith is that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded us to do 7 things. So we're going to learn about the rights in this hadith of Muslims. The rights. Muslims have rights over you. So the first one he mentioned was visiting the sick. Visiting the sick. In Islam, if somebody is ill, you should make every effort to visit them, to call them. And that will instill happiness. And it actually expedites the recovery process. Okay? The next one is to follow the funeral. To follow the funeral. This is the right of a Muslim. This is what we call a fard kifaya. As long as some Muslims are doing it, other Muslims are exempt. Otherwise, if nobody is following the funeral procession and performing the janazah prayer, then the Muslim community is at sin. The next one is invoke the mercy of Allah upon the one who sneezes. So when somebody sneezes, you say to them, Yarhamukallah, and they say Alhamdulillah, you say to them, Yarhamukallah, may Allah have mercy upon you. The next one is number 4, to support the weak. Supporting the weak. Number 5, to help the oppressed. Okay, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said he's not one of us who, spends the night and he does not have any concern for the affairs of the Muslims. So Muslims are one body, okay, are like one body, whereby when one of the body parts finds and feels the hardship and feels the pain, the rest of the body also suffers and feels this and has this sleeplessness and not being able to sleep. So we have to be concerned always with regards to what's happening to our Muslim brethren, wherever they may be in the world, whatever language they speak, whatever color of their skin is. We are one ummah, we are one body. Islam is against racial differences, and this person is black, or this person is white, or this person is Arab, this person is non-Arab, he's got this color skin or that color skin. This is irrelevant and nonsensical to enter into this sort of discussion or talk, and non-Islamic. Now, and then he mentions, and to give currency to the greeting of peace. In other words, to return the salam. And the next one, number 7, to help those who swear to do something to keep their oaths. So if somebody has made an oath to do something, then to try and help them fulfill their oath. And again, the fulfillment of this hadith nurtures, of course, mutual love and a sense of cohesion, a sense of cohesion and feelings of respect. And that's what Islam is out to do. The next hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that we find in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا, that you will not enter Jannah until you believe. You will not enter Jannah until you believe. And then he goes on and he mentions one of the characteristics. He says, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you are not true believers until you love one another. Okay? And you will by no means believe until you love one another. And then he says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. He said, shall I inform you of something which if you do, you will love one another? And then he says, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. If أَفْشُ means spread, spread. السَّلَامِ is the peace, meaning the greeting. Okay? And Allah, one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is As-Salam. Okay? One of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is As-Salam. So, faith, we learn from this hadith, is a prerequisite for the entry to Jannah, to paradise. Now this next hadith, we learn about four traits a Muslim should observe. Now here, Abdullah ibn Salam, رضي الله عنه, he said, I heard Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, O people, he said, يا أيها الناس, O people. Okay? And he said, أفشوا السلام, spread salam. Spread salam amongst yourselves. Okay? وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامِ, and feed, meaning feed the poor and the needy. وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامِ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ, and maintain the ties or strengthen the ties of kinship, you know, with your relatives, with your family members. Make sure the ties are strong. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ, and pray when the people are sleeping. In other words, pray at night. Make sure you pray some sort of prayer at night, tahajjud or qiyam. And then he concludes by saying, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. You will enter Jannah peacefully. You will enter Jannah, you will enter paradise in peace. And this hadith is found in Sunan At-Tirmidhi. So, four important traits. If Shab, As-Salam, spreading the salam, feeding the poor, maintaining the ties of kinship, and praying during the night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and zeal and energy to fulfill these beautiful traits. The next hadith is the hadith of At-Tufayl ibn Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. He said, I used to visit Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the famous Sahabi, the famous companion, the son of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhuma. He says, in the morning, he used to visit him in the morning and accompany him to the market. They used to go to the market, to the souq. And Abdullah offered salutations of peace to everyone he met on the way. Be they sellers of petty goods, traders or poor people. And then one day when I came to him, he asked me to accompany him in the market. I said to him, what's the point of you going to the market when you don't sell, you don't ask about articles, and you don't offer a price for them, nor do you sit down with the company of the people. Let us sit down here and talk. Alright? So then, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, oh Abu Batn. Batn is the belly. This person, At-Tufayl, this Sahabi, At-Tufayl ibn Ubay, he had a bit of a belly to him. So he's calling me Abu Batn. Now here, this is the ulama said, this is permissible if the person finds no offense. You know, some people, they don't mind being called skinny. Or, you know, or might, don't mind that. If they don't mind being called by a certain, you know, nickname, then there's no harm, the ulama said. But if a person is offended or it hurts their feelings, you're not allowed to use a name that insults them or hurts their feelings in any way. So he says to him, oh, Abu Batn, you know, he says, we go to the market to greet everyone we meet. And subhanAllah, like Abdullah ibn Umar, that's all he wanted to do, just go and spread the salam. Spread the salam. The next chapter that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, he entitles it Babu kayfiyatu salam. Words to be used for offering salutations. Now here in the opening words of Imam al-Nawawi, he says, it is recommended for the one offering salutations to say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The reply is, wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the only addition to the response is the wa, and the wa means and like and to you. Now here he's included the hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan al-Tirmidhi. It's the hadith of Imran ibn al-Husayn. A man came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to his salam, and the man sat down, and after he sat down, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said ten. Meaning, the man had earned the merit of 10 good acts. And then another man came in and he said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded. And the man sat, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said 20. In other words, he's earned 20 rewards. Then a third man came in and he said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and he sat down. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said 30. He said 30. So therefore what we learn from this hadith is the more you add to the greeting, the more reward. So don't limit yourself to always As-salamu alaykum. Well, let me go back one. Some people these days they say salam, or they just send an email or a text, salams. Try and, you know, don't be lazy with your texting. Okay, it's okay. Exercise, you know, you're always exercising your fingers. Exercise them, because subhanAllah, by exercising them a little bit more, you get hasanat, more hasanat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, so you get 30 hasanat right there and then. It's locked in, inshallah. The next hadith that he mentions is hadith Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her in this hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, قَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا جِبْرِيلُ يَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكِ السَّلَامِ هَذَا جِبْرِيلُ يَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكِ السَّلَامِ. He said, this is Jibreel. Jibreel was present, as he used to be, present with the Prophet ﷺ at times when he's teaching him and other times, and who is conveying salam to you. So what was her response to Jibreel, to Gabriel, to the angel? She said, قَالَتْ قُلْتُ وَعَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And peace be and peace and blessings be upon him. So subhanAllah, one of the things that we learn from this hadith is not only the manner of the salam, but how in this authentic hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, we have Jibreel, the messenger of Allah, the greatest of the angels, sending their peace and their salam to Aisha radiallahu anha, whilst we have some people out there who call themselves Muslims and they curse Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha. They curse her and they say bad things about her. Wal'iyadhu billah. Yet we have Jibreel, one of the greatest creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, giving their salam to Aisha. And how could it be that the Prophet ﷺ is married to Aisha, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who showed him in his dream to marry her? How could it be that people have the audacity to speak about the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the main narrators of hadith, one of the most narrators of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith can be used against these people who speak out against Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. The next hadith, hadith Anas, and it's found in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repeat his words 3 times so that the meaning thereof would be fully understood. And whenever he came upon a gathering of people, he would greet them and he would repeat the salutation 3 times. So sometimes what the Prophet ﷺ used to do, if he came across a gathering of Muslims, he would initiate the salam. But he would actually say As-salamu alaykum 3 times. Why? The Prophet ﷺ was a very considerate person. And he always wanted people not to have any bad opinion of him. And that's what Islam teaches us. So what he would do by saying As-salamu alaykum, As-salamu alaykum, As-salamu alaykum, if anybody missed it the first time, there was a chance to hear him the second time or the third time. But the person who missed it the first or second time and who heard it the third time, you know, that way there's no excuses anymore, that no one can accuse and say, oh, the Prophet ﷺ never said anything. Now, he said it 3 times to make sure that he said it enough times for people to have heard the greeting. So there's nothing wrong if you come to a greeting, a gathering of people, and you sort of, you know, it's a big gathering, say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. You know, you can actually do this. Okay? Just to make sure that everybody has heard you. And that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith is basically teaching us another manner. And that is, let's say there are some people sleeping and some people awake. Again, we see the consideration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this next hadith, hadith al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, it's part of a long hadith. He said, we used to reserve for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his share of the milk. And he would come at night and offer salutations in such a manner as it not disturb those asleep, and was heard only by those who were awake. In fact, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and offered salutations as usual. So even if some people were asleep, he would still come and offer the salam, but he made sure not to bother those who were asleep. The next hadith is found in Sunan At-Tirmidhi. The previous hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. This hadith here is by Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anhuma, the daughter of Yazid radiallahu anhu. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed through the masjid one day, through the mosque, and there was a group of women. There was a group of women, about 10 of them, sitting in the masjid, in the mosque. And he raised his hand to offer the salutation, because he was at a distance. Now, in Islam, we know that it's actually not allowed. It's actually not allowed to offer a salam by the gesture of the hand. Okay, from a distance, that's forbidden in Islam. It's only allowed if you also utter the words with it. So you know, some people go like this and they give their like salam from a distance, you know. You can't do this in Islam unless you say like salamu alaykum. You actually utter the words with the gesture. Okay? Now, secondly, what we learn from this hadith is that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could greet women because he was sinless and permanently stood under the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it would not be allowed for other men to do this. Now, there is some rules that the ulama have stipulated or conditions when giving salam to the opposite gender. But yani, this hadith can be carried into effect in case yani, one feels that no temptation and evil will be involved, for example, then you can do it. So for example, a man can greet an aged and respectable woman, and an older woman, you can greet her. There's no fear of any fitna or temptation to come about. But in the case, for example, of younger women, then that wouldn't be permissible. But we'll talk about the conditions in a moment, inshallah. Now, the next hadith that he included, it's also part of a long hadith. It's hadith Abu Juray al-Hujmiyyi, al-Hujaymi, radiallahu anhu. I saw Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, he said to him, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So this person, he saw the Prophet ﷺ, instead of saying, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, okay, he said, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not say, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, this is the salutation to the dead. So you can't say, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ. You say, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. The next chapter that he includes in the Book of Salutations, or Kitab al-Salam, Imam al-Nawawi includes etiquette of offering salutations. Now, pretty much what we're going to learn here is who initiates the salam. Who initiates the salam? Now, we have many scenarios. You can have a young person and an old person coming together. Who offers salam first? You can have a person who is riding in their car, or on a vehicle, or mounted on an animal, and they come across somebody standing, who offers the salam in this scenario? You can have a person just sitting down, and some other people walking past, who offers the salam here? So there are different situations, and subhanAllah, Islam, our comprehensive deen, our comprehensive religion, has gone to the extent of actually stating and breaking it down for us who offers salam to who. So let's hear this hadith. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that we find in Bukhari and we find it in Sahih Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a rider shall or should salute a pedestrian. Okay, so if you are the one that's riding, you're in the car and you see a pedestrian, you're the one that should say assalamu alaykum first. Or if you're on a horse, you're on a camel, whatever means of transport you are on, you're on the train, you're on the bus, you see someone, they're not the ones that need to initiate. You need to initiate. The rider initiates the salam, the greeting to the pedestrian, to the person on the road. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, a pedestrian should salute one who is sitting. So now, you're sitting on the park bench, and somebody goes past, the passerby is the one who gives salam to the one who is sitting. Not the one who is sitting gives salam to the one who is passing by. That's another manner. And then the Prophet ﷺ goes on and he says, and a small group should salute a large group of people. So there's a small group, large group. Which one says it first? The smaller one to the larger. Important, yani, subhanAllah, manners and etiquettes. There is another narration in Bukhari that adds, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرُ, and the young should greet the elderly. The young should greet the elderly. Okay? So, in Islam, generally speaking, okay, it all depends on the situation that you're in as to who initiates the salam. The next hadith basically talks about, okay, let's say two people come together. The better of the two is always the one who initiates the salam first. And that goes to show that that person, okay, is a person who is most likely, yani, stronger in faith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith that is found, that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in Abu Dawud, that is found in Abu Dawud, hadith Abi Umama, he mentioned that Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, the person nearest to Allah is one who is the first to offer the salutation. And in the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Allah's Messenger ﷺ was asked, O Allah's Messenger, when two persons meet, who should say salutations first? And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person nearest to Allah, in other words, one who is more obedient and therefore closer to Allah, will say as-salam first. So this is something to remember when it comes to who initiates the salam. So we said the rider to the pedestrian to the one who is sitting, the young to the old, the small group to the large group. We move on now to another chapter that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included, the excellence of saluting the acquaintance repeatedly. Now here he mentions hadith al-musir salatihi. This is a hadith whereby there was a man who entered the masjid and he prayed two rak'at, but he prayed them poorly. And so it became known as hadith al-musi' salatah, the one who prayed poorly. He didn't fulfill all the requirements, the conditions of salat. Now this hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that he came up to Allah's Messenger وسلم, and he paid salutation to him. And Allah's Messenger وسلم, responded to the salutation and said, go back and repeat your salat because you have not offered your salat properly. So he gave his salam, the Prophet وسلم, responded to the salam, but then he said to him, go back and pray again, you haven't prayed properly. Okay, so then he came back again, he offered the salat as he had prayed before, and came to Allah's Messenger وسلم, and he saluted him, and the Prophet وسلم, responded to him the same words. He goes, go back, salaam salam, go back and repeat your salat, for you have not prayed. In other words, you haven't prayed properly. So he kept on doing this three times. So what we learn from this is you can come back and say assalamu alaikum again and again, as the man did, but if your salat is not correct, also to redo your salat. If it's missing one of the arkan or one of the wajibat of the salat, okay? Let's go now to the next hadith. The next hadith is an interesting hadith because, let's say for example, you are walking with somebody, and as you're walking, maybe you took two different paths to go around a tree or around a structure, maybe some little mountain or little a building, whatever it is, and then you meet again. The sunnah is to say assalamu alaikum once again, and this is based on the hadith that is found in Abu Dawood, and it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you meets a brother, in other words, in faith, he should salute him. Then if a tree or a wall or a stone intervenes, intervenes between them, and then he meets him again, he should salute him. So say assalamu alaikum again once you disappear from each other. The next chapter that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is the excellence of greeting at the time of entry into the house. And we did speak about the ayah in the opening chapter, but the hadith that he mentions here is hadith Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, dear son, he said to Anas, dear son, when you enter your house, say assalamu alaykum to your family, for it will be blessing both to you and to your family. So when you say assalamu alaikum, it's a blessing for you and a blessing to your family. So unfortunately, many people, many Muslims really, they feel belittled, I think. Maybe, I don't know if that's the word to use, but you know, they don't say assalamu alaikum. You know, they might say, you know, wallahi, we have the best greeting, better than hi, you know, how are you all, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or what else do they say? You know, ni hao, salama bagi, salama siang, or what else do they say? Aloha. Okay. None of this, you know, aloha and What else is there? Bonjour, bonsoir. If you want to say these things, look, these things, there's nothing wrong with them, but after you say assalamu alaikum, and then go into your hoo-ha in greetings, okay? Inshallah, I was just sort of showing off there some of my greetings, but that's about all I know, I think. So inshallah ta'ala, let's adhere to the Islamic greeting. Now, the next hadith, the next chapter is Babu Salami ala Sibyan, saluting the children. And Anas radiallahu anhu Abdullah narrates that he passed by some children and saluted them. Then he said, Allah's Messenger used to do the same. So when you go past children, give your salam to children. This is very, very important. You come across a group of children, get into the habit, even if you don't know them. Assalamu alaikum. Show them and instill happiness into their hearts. So when you do that, you actually, not only are you pleasing their hearts, but also you're actually showing that you're a modest person, that you are a humble person. You don't have any pride. Islam is against pride. It's also, of course, rewarding because you're following in the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does have a chapter here, saluting one's wife and other women. That's why I wanted to share those conditions with you now. He does mention the hadith. Hadith Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anhuma, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by us when we were with a party of women and he saluted us. So he gave his salam to a group of women. So again, the permissibility of men to greet women and vice versa is with the condition that there's no fear of any sort of fitna or temptation. It can't lead to anything that's unlawful. Now, so what have the ulama said? Number one, a young woman is forbidden to greet men and to respond to their greeting. That's one opinion. Okay, one body of opinion, or the ulama have mentioned that, basically it's not the right thing to do for a young woman to go and give salam to greet men, or to even respond to their greeting. Or if she does so, she does so in absolute modesty, in an absolute modest way. Maybe very low voice, you can hardly be heard. Another condition, a group of women or an old woman are allowed to greet men and to respond to men's greetings. Men are also allowed to greet a group of women or an old woman. So when there's no fitna, when there's a group, you're not really addressing one person specifically here. Another condition, number three, a man on his own is not allowed to greet a young woman. You're on your own, you see a woman, you can't just, salamu alaikum, how are you? Now, of course, if you're in a business situation, you're at the counter, salamu alaikum, and again, it has to be professional, it has to be business-like, okay? Another condition, a man on his own is allowed to greet a group of women. And then when there's a group of women, like the Prophet ﷺ is doing here, it's saying, assalamu alaikum, you won't pass them. There's no harm because there's no fitna that could emerge from this, inshaAllah. So this is something that the ulama have spoken about, okay? And Allah ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, greeting the non-Muslims. He has a chapter. He says, greeting the non-Muslims and prohibition of taking an initiative. Now here he mentions a hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تبدأ اليهود ولا النصارى بالسلام. He said, do not salute the Jews and the Christians before they salute you. So what he's saying here is, let them start the salam, not you. Because Islam is superior as a faith to Judaism and Christianity. You know, Islam prides itself on its belief, and that we believe without a shadow of doubt that the only acceptable faith, the only acceptable deen and religion to Allah Azza wa Jal is Islam, which is the religion of all of the prophets and all of the messengers. No exceptions. Islam is the religion of Jesus, of Isa. Islam is the religion of Musa. Islam is the religion of Ibrahim. It's the religion of Adam. It's the way of life of all of the prophets and all of the messengers that were commissioned to mankind. Okay? So Islam is about submission and surrender and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith shows the dignity of Muslims. So let them begin the salam. Now if they say assalamu alaykum, and you're sure that they said assalamu alaykum to you, do you say wa alaykum assalam? Then the answer is yes. You do say wa alaykum assalam. And you can say wa alaykum assalam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said in the opening verses, إِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. If you are greeted with a greeting, then respond, reply with a better greeting. And it didn't discriminate between Muslim or non-Muslim. Once you have been given that greeting, respond with a better greeting, or at the very least, you can just return the greeting. Hello, hello, hi, hi. Okay? This next hadith Anas, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people of the book salute you, so when they say, and what he meant here by saluting you, is when they say, assalamu alaykum. Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu, the way many non-Muslims used to greet him, they used to say to him, "Assalamu alaykum," meaning "death be upon you." So they play with the words, "Assalamu alaykum." It sounds like "Assalamu alaykum." So when they say "Assalamu alaykum," you respond by saying "Wa alaykum," and "death be upon you too," meaning you're going to die too. You know. So, and I guess you know. We see some very important manners here, because we don't go more than that. Don't go getting all abusive and violent and aggressive. Call us, repeat it, just go, and back to you, same to you, you know. In the next hadith, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger, he passed by a mixed company of people which included Muslims, polytheists, meaning mushrikun, and Jews, and he gave them the salutation of peace. In other words, he said assalamu alaykum. So if there's a mixed gathering or a mixed assembly, okay, of Muslims and non-Muslims, then one should utter greeting of peace to it, but consider Muslims as one's addressees. So when you're doing it, so when you're saying assalamu alaikum, your main intention is the Muslims that are present. Okay? So there's no harm if there's a mixed gathering. Instead of saying hi everyone, you know, hello, good morning, say assalamu alaikum if there are Muslims. We said that there's no harm in responding to the greeting of a non-Muslim if you know that he's saying assalamu, not salamu alaykum. Okay, the next chapter he says here, excellence of greeting on arrival and departure. So, hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, that when one of you arrives in a gathering, he should offer salutation to those who are already there, and he should also do so when he intends to depart. The first act of greeting is not more meritorious than the last. So when you are coming to a gathering, say assalamu alaikum, and when you come to leave that gathering, it is equally important to say assalamu alaikum as you were exiting, as this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood has alluded to. The next chapter he says, seeking permission to enter. In other words, to enter somebody's house and the manners relating to it. Now, here he has the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, permission is to be sought thrice, meaning three times. If it is accorded, you may enter, otherwise go back. Bukhari and Muslim. So, when you come knocking on somebody's door, you knock once and you wait. You knock again and you wait. You knock a third time and you wait. And even if you know that somebody is inside and you can hear noises or sounds, you need to walk away. You need to back off. Okay? Because they don't want to welcome you in for whatever reason. And you should always have a positive and good opinion of others. Maybe there's something they don't want you to see. Maybe they're not in the right, in a state. Maybe they're very ill. So the adab and the akhlaq is to knock. And if you really, really want to make sure they've heard your knocks, knock once, wait a period of time. Knock again, knock a third time. Okay? The next hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, seeking permission to enter, meaning to enter somebody's house, has been prescribed in order to restrain the eyes, in other words, from looking at something we are not supposed to look at. That's why you knock first, knock before you enter. Knock before you enter. The next hadith that Imam al-Nawawi included is the hadith of Kildah ibn al-Hanbal radiallahu anhu. I visited Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I entered his house without seeking permission. So he entered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house without asking permission, without asking for permission. So he said, go back and say, assalamu alaykum. May I come in? He said, go back, ارجع فقل السلام عليكم أأدخل, should I enter? So you have to seek permission. You can't just go السلام عليكم and enter. No. Many people do this, السلام عليكم, and they just come in. So can I come in? That's another etiquette, another very important manner. Now, another very important manner, and Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included a chapter here, seeking permission to enter by telling one's name. Now here, he's mentioned a number of hadiths, but the one that I want to share with you, or the two that I'll share with you, is one of them is found in Bukhari and Muslim, Hani. Umm Hani, radiallahu anha, she said, I went to Allah's Messenger, وسلم, who was taking a bath while Fatima was screening him. He asked, he said, Man hadihi? Faqultu ana Hani. She said, I am Hani. So she said who she is. Another hadith that is found in Bukhari Muslim, hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu, I went to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and knocked at the door with a view to seeking permission. He asked, he said, Man dha, in other words, yani, who is there? Faqultu ana, she said me, or I, she said me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ana, ana, I, in other words, he didn't like this. Who's me, me? You know, it happens a lot. People knock on the door, and you hear the, you know, who is it? Who's there? Me. Who are you? You know, and subhanAllah, sometimes, especially like, even if you come into your parents' home, you know, mum and dad, sometimes, you know, your voice is the same as all your brothers and sisters. You all sound the same to them. Okay, so say, Ana Bilal, Ana Muhammad, Ana Fatima. You know, this is the sunnah. To actually mention your name. Say something, say who you are, identify yourself. And especially if you're a stranger. The next hadith, here he talks about, he goes into a chapter, the chapter on saying Alhamdulillah when sneezing. So he goes into the etiquettes of sneezing, and he mentions some of the hadith. In short, if you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. You praise Allah. And you say praise is to Allah. And the person who hears you, he says, Yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy upon you. And then your response is, يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ. That is the most authentic response. No remixes, please. You know, يَهْدِينَ وَيَهْدِيكُمْ عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ and all these different remixes of the dua. Alhamdulillah, sufficient for us is the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, what to say to non-Muslims who sneeze? Now, there is a hadith collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, hadith Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, the Jews used to intentionally sneeze in the presence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hoping that he would say to them, Yarhamukumullah. They wanted the Prophet to say Yarhamukumullah because it's a dua. When you say Yarhamukallah, it means may Allah have mercy upon you. So the Jews would sneeze deliberately so they could get the rahmah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very shifty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would respond with Yarhamukumullahu wa yuslihu balakum. He would say, may Allah have mercy on you, but may He also better your affairs, better your ways, or amend your ways, when they would do that. So the sunnah is to say to them, يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ, not to say when they sneeze, just say, يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Okay? The next hadith, it's about the etiquette of yawning. SubhanAllah, Islam has not left any stone unturned. This next hadith, Hadith Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger said, when one yawns, he should put his hand over his mouth, else the devil will enter. The devil will enter, the shaitan can enter through this passage and during this act, because this is an act that pleases shaitan. Yawning is a sign of weakness and of laziness and of fatigue. Okay? The next chapter, the excellence of handshaking at the time of meeting. Now here, he has the hadith of Abu Khattab, Qatada radiallahu anhu. I asked Anas, did the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to shake hands? He said, yes. So the sunnah is to shake hands and to say assalamu alaikum. So when you're shaking hands and you're saying assalamu alaikum. The next hadith actually teaches us who were the first people to introduce handshaking. Does anyone know where handshaking came from? The handshake. Yes, very good, mashallah. Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that when the people of Yemen, they came, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of Yemen have visited you. They are the first to introduce the tradition of handshaking. People of Yemen. So give it to the Yemenis. Okay? And this hadith is found in Abu Dawood. So the Prophet ﷺ, he actually approved of this. He gave his iqrar. He gave his approval of this sunnah of handshaking that is accompanied with as-salam. The next hadith basically teaches us that when you are shaking hands, your sins are falling from you and are forgiven, are being wiped out for as long as you're holding hands. That's why the next time you hold the hands with someone who's a learned person or a scholar or an alim, they hold your hand for a while because they know the sunnah. Okay? Hadith Al-Bara radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two Muslims will not meet and shake hands without having their sins forgiven by Allah before they depart. The hadith is found in Sunan Abi Dawood. So Allah forgives, of course, the minor sins. The next hadith is to do with some manners. You know, in some cultures, they actually bow. You know, when you come to give a greeting, they bow. Okay? Now, what does Islam have to say about bowing and greeting? Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, as we find in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, a man asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a man meets a brother or a friend, should he bow to him? He said, no. The man asked whether he should embrace and kiss him. Now here, kiss him meaning kiss his hand. Embrace him and kiss his hand. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ, he said no. And he asked whether he should hold his hand and shake it. The Prophet ﷺ, he said yes. Now, this hadith, when it spoke about bowing, some scholars have gone into a little bit of dissection of the word bowing. Because bowing normally means, you know, to go all the way. If you think about ruku', okay, and ruku' normally is really when you go in all the way. But if some said if you did like a little bit like that, that's fine. If a little bit, that's fine. But if you go beyond the 45-degree angle, then you've gone too far. Some scholars went into this sort of talk. But if we look at the wording of this hadith, he said bowing. So it's better to avoid bowing altogether and just to restrict to the salam and to the handshake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, for actually hugging, this is something, you know, Muslims do a lot of hugging and kissing, you know. And I think you know what I'm talking about here. With regards to this, it shouldn't be done all the time. The sunnah, or what it appears that the correct manner is to do it when you haven't seen somebody for a long time. So if you haven't seen somebody for a long time, and you've saw them for the first time in a long time, yes, you can embrace them, kiss them, that's fine. Or just an embrace without the kissing, that's fine. Or when they've come back from travel, that's fine. Okay, so we do learn some hadith allow this embracing, particularly on return from a journey or when two people haven't seen each other for a long time. Another hadith that I want to mention here is about smiling. And that's something that we should do more of as Muslims. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. He said, do not disdain a good deed even if you're meeting your brother with a cheerful face. A smile, wallahi, very, very powerful. A smile is a curve that sets many things straight. Okay, and so we find that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he always smiled. As for kissing children, this is another hadith that he included here, and this is also very important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this brings us to the end of the chapter or the book of Kitab al-Salam, the book of salutations. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll look at the book of visiting the sick and the etiquettes of visiting the sick. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.